My name is Jill Coyle, and from years of experience as a divorce attorney, I know for a fact that no one dies from divorce. The experts and I are here to show you how to not only survive, but thrive during the most difficult times. Welcome to another episode of No One Dies from Divorce podcast. I'm Jill Coyle, and I have an amazing guest today. I'm so excited. Leanna Kanzler, hailing us from Sydney, Australia. Welcome to the show, Leanne.
Thank you so much, Jill. I'm really excited to be here.
So I want my, we are going to be talking about breakup to breakthrough today on my podcast. And I love that you call yourself a breakup coach, because that's something you don't hear a lot about. And I want my listeners to know who you are. So let me introduce you fully so that they know. So Leanne is a psychologist and a breakup coach from Sydney, Australia. She has worked with thousands of people and come to the niche of breakup coach after her own marriage ended. And she saw firsthand how hard it was to date when so many people are clearly not ready. Leanne uses her knowledge and lots of time, her intuition, to help her clients get to where they deserve to be, a happier and content place within themselves. She offers one-on-one coaching, group coaching, and has developed an online program, Breakup to Breakthrough. You can find out more on her website, which is leannekanzler.com. Did I say your last name right?
You did. Yes, yes. Us Aussies, we don't pronounce the R like that, but that's cool. Leanne Kanzler.
Okay, well, we'll talk about it, and we'll have your link, your name in our bio so that it's very easy for people. But anyways, fantastic. Leanne, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's really, I find it can be really hard to get the word out there to people that there's so much support and that we don't have to go it alone. So talking to amazing people like you really does help to get the word out there that you are not alone.
Yes, I love that. And we talk about that all the time, that a divorce doesn't need to be this like shameful subject anymore. Like, stop making it taboo. Like, it actually can be this, breakthrough. Just like you said, it can be this movement to become the best version of yourself that you didn't even know was possible. And what I love about this is that when you think, oh, America, you know, getting divorced and it's happening here, it's happening everywhere.
Oh, God, yeah. Yes.
Clear across the ocean, farthest continent away, Australia. It's happening. And we're all going through the exact same thing. So whatever we say here can be a benefit for you wherever you are. So just know you're not alone. I love that.
Absolutely. I have people reaching out to me from India and Dubai, all over the world. And in some places like India, it is seriously taboo, and they do not talk about it, and it's really scary how lonely they are and how stuck they are. So hopefully, you know, this podcast will reach all across the world as well and help people to understand that it's okay, and culturally we can start to shift things as well.
I love that. So tell me a little bit more about your story, like in your background. How did you get here? We heard a little bit of a teaser, but I want more of in-depth. How did you get to where you are?
Well, it is a long story, so I'll give you the super abbreviated one. I met my first husband when I was just 17, and we got married when I was 20. He was only 22. And it was pretty much toxic from day one. We were very much in love, but we hurt each other a lot, and he hurt me a lot. He was very controlling. And at some point I decided I needed to make myself happy, so I went back to university and I studied psychology at the age of 30. At that point I also had a little baby, then I had my next child, and at 37 I finally graduated. It was a long drawn out process, and not long after that, during that whole process, I could see that, oh my God, my marriage is really bad, this isn't working. I became more and more depressed. And 2008, my father passed away, and that was like a big, bam, slap in the face for me, and it almost kind of set me free as well. It made me realize that I can't live my life like this forever. I need to stand up for myself. I need to break free.
Yeah.
And It wasn't easy because I had lots of negative messages about how I was no good and no one would want me, and it was all my fault. There was something wrong with me, which is what led me to the psychologist, which is what led me to uni. So I had so many messages of how unworthy I was, but it got to the point that I was fantasizing about driving my car into a truck or a tree and fantasizing about running away. Do I take the children? Do I not? Where do I go? What if I just get in the car and drive away and not come home and no one will ever know? No, my head was going mental. But the day that I made the decision that it was done, man, that was like some sort of magical release, like, oh, my God, I'm finally free. Of course, after that came all the trauma of starting over.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a long, long process, and I think this part is really important because a lot of people really down themselves, put themselves down, because it can take a long time to make that decision. And it took me about 5 years to finally say, I can't do this anymore. And a lot of people do take between 5 and 3 years to make that decision. It's not an easy decision.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people just put their heads down, you know. Humans aren't selfish by like nature. I mean, even though we would like disagree sometimes with that. And therefore, a lot of times what we do in life is to please other people. So a lot of us, especially in a marriage where you believe that you're with somebody that you're supposed to be with forever, you know, the words time, you know, until death do us part, or time and eternity. I mean, it resonates with people. And so a lot of us just put our head down because you know what? I'm going to do for the greater good, whether it's for the kids, whether it's for everybody else. And, you know, I'll be the first one to say, especially as a woman, is that that's the first mistake in marriages, is when you stop putting yourself first.
100%.
Everybody's like, oh, don't do that. That's so selfish. No. You're so selfish. And I'm like, nope.
No.
That's exactly how you can be a better parent, a better, you know, spouse, a better lover, a better partner, is if you're continually working on yourself first, and then you have the mental wherewithal to take care of everybody else.
100%. And I often like to remind people that when you met your partner, you were your best version. Mm-hmm. You were out there, you were fun, you were doing what you wanted, you had great energy, and that's what attracted you to your partner. And your partner was doing the same thing. And then we come together, and for some bizarre reason, we think that we have to stop seeing our friends or our family, or we have to quit the job, or we have to do this, or we have to do that, and we lose who we are. And then our attractiveness drops off. We stop loving our partners because they're not who they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
But then we also stop our partners from being who they want to be. We stop them. Oh, you can't go out with the boys. No, no, no. I don't trust you to do that. We just lose ourselves, and it's really sad.
I know. I liken it to, I say we stop daydreaming. Like we stop, you know, like when we were kids and young girls. I mean, I used to daydream of marrying like Prince William, you know, of England. Like I used to have these just grandiose daydreams that would fill me with so much happiness. And when I got married, those just stopped. Like it was like I wasn't even allowed to like think that it was a possibility to, you know, achieve great big things. And so I love like telling, especially women, like, first of all, you have to take care of yourself in the marriage too. But then afterwards, your divorce can be the opportunity for you to start daydreaming again and believing that anything is possible.
Absolutely. And going for that as well. And, you know, some people say to me, oh, I'm setting my expectations too high. I should just, you know, date this particular person because, most of the boxes are ticked. And I'm like, no way. You're going to settle now. It's going to be hell within a few months. Don't even go there.
That's why so many times and times again, I've heard of the second spouse issue, you know, you know, I was in a long-term marriage, divorced, and then got married again. And that ended in a very, very quick divorce. And I'm like, yep, that's because you hadn't found yourself. You hadn't worked on you first. before you rushed right into it. And there's a lot of codependency problems, you know, issues with that. But
So
through your own experience and through going this, is this why you created Women Power? I mean, what is this? And what helped you create this?
Well, initially I started working with men. And because obviously that's what I was seeing. There was a massive need for that. And then I was approached by a women's magazine called Feminescence. It's an Australian magazine, a beautiful magazine. But the way they've designed it is absolutely gorgeous. Definitely available in America if you want to check it out. There's a full story in there, like 6 pages on my life and stuff like that. And a special offer, which I'm still happy to honour, even though that's expired now. That's fine. But through that magazine, I thought, hang on a minute. This is a women's magazine. I really need to work with women as well. And it actually made me realize that I love working with women, and women offer such a different energy to working with men. And so I changed my men's program to work with women as well, but I separated them because men and women, you know, they're same, but different.
Right.
So the program is designed to help women seriously connect to who they are, you know, exactly the opposite of what we were talking about. Get back to you. Remember that little girl inside and how amazing and beautiful she was. And if there's trauma associated with that child, let's slowly unpack that as well and look at the type of woman that you want to be, not the woman controlled by your inner child, the traumatic stuff that you've been through, your ex-husband, all the shit that is associated with that. Well, I hope you don't mind if I swear sometimes. And just really empowering women to take control back of their lives and become the best version of themselves before they even consider dating. Because if you're out there needing to be with someone, it's the completely wrong reason to be dating. We need to be out there because we want someone. Like, you know, when I really loved who I was, and I was like, yeah, I'm ready to date and I'm super excited about this and I can't wait. It's going to be so much fun. And if I don't meet anyone, I really don't care either. 7 days later, I met my husband.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's so funny. And I've actually never talked about this, but the summer before I met my husband, I was 24. I was going into my last year of law school. I thought, I'm never going to find this person that is going to tick all these boxes that I needed. And I just, for that summer, decided to just date whoever and whatever. I was confident in who I was. I was in the best shape of my life. I, was living in Europe, doing a study abroad over there. I felt amazing in who I was. And when I was able to let go of like what I needed and who I needed, all of a sudden, who stumbled in my life? Just like you, my husband. Yeah. Yeah. And I honestly feel he came in like a wrecking ball. He was like, came in and he was like, oh, I love you. I want to marry you. And I was like, who are you? Like, I don't even know you yet. Like, that's how fast that went. But I honestly look at that now and I think, man, if I wasn't in that place of like really being confident in who I was, I would have never been able to handle that because I would have been too intimidated or too vulnerable. Anyways, I think that that's amazing. And I am the same thing, Leanne. Like, I'm here trying to empower women to recognize that you are strong enough to stand on your own 2 feet and your feet can do amazing things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I was very similar to you. Sorry. When I met my husband, my current husband, literally said to him a few months in, if I had met you 2 years ago, we never would have worked because I would have thought I wasn't good enough for you.
He
had really big energy, amazing guy. All my friends love him. But I would have thought, oh, no, oh, I can't handle you. You're too big for me energetically. But, you know, I caught up.
That's so funny because I've never thought of it that way. But I am like now recognizing that that is a big part because my husband's that guy that everybody likes. Like, it's really actually annoying. Like, he doesn't. he's just genuinely like a good, honest, like good person who knows everything. You know, like he's just one of those guys that everybody likes. It's what makes him, he's a really amazing physician. He connects on a level that most people don't. Like but I'm starting to recognize that I'm the same way, Leanne. I don't think if I was in that space, I would have believed that I was good enough for him. So I love that. So through what you do and going through school and kind of, I want to kind of understand emotions because we hear this a lot, you know, clarify, understand strategies to deal. That's kind of your thing. And this is why I was so excited for this podcast. I'm like, man, we say a lot of the exact same thing. So kind of talk to my listeners about what that means.
So in terms of clarifying your emotions and that's
Like understanding emotions, like how do you clarify like what you're feeling today?
Wow, that's a big question. I think the simplest way, if the listeners are at home listening to this and they're curious about, you know, I don't even know how I feel anymore, I'm so confused, pen and paper.
Yeah.
Pen and paper is the easiest way. And there are actually lists that you can Google, like emotions lists with hundreds of different words. There are so many words out there. And getting the right word, believe it or not, is a big step in clarifying how you feel. Because you can say, I'm so angry, but underneath that anger is grief and hurt and despair and distress and trauma and, well, so many other things. So being able to clarify the right way to frame how you feel is really important for you, not only for you to understand, but for other people to understand you. And getting those words right is really valuable, I think. Now, I have this list in my office and I show people on Zoom as well, if they're stuck. And it helps them and you can kind of see them going, oh, wow, oh, okay, this is actually how I feel and this is how I feel. And when they know that, then they can take the next steps to going, okay, well, I am actually really hurt. What do I have to do to heal this hurt? Or I'm terrified or I'm full of shame or I'm just so embarrassed. And once you start talking about all of those things, whether it be to a therapist or a coach or a friend even, someone that you really trust, you have to be very careful who you talk to about these things. You don't want someone who's going to disempower you and not listen to you and tell you that you're wrong in how you feel, because let's face it, you are never wrong in how you feel. Your perceptions might be a bit off, but you're not wrong in your emotions. So being able to clarify all that helps you then to take the next step to let it go.
Yeah. And that's what I love. So when we're going through a divorce, we're going through a cycle. A lot of people call it the grief cycle. It's the grief cycle of divorce. Like you're mourning different things. And when people come into my office and they hire me, they're usually in a variety of the cycle. Like I've seen it all. But one of the worst stages you can be in is not knowing what stage you're in. You know, the full denial of like, I'm feeling this and this is why I'm feeling this, because it doesn't allow you to move forward and heal or grow or learn or do anything if you don't understand the feeling you're feeling. And I think this can be like, even like something that is very, very prominent, like in your life. Like I talk to a lot of child psychologists and therapists through my show and what I do. And you know, the first thing that they always talk about when you're trying to communicate with your children is understand what they're feeling or what their need is. And I'm like, oh, well, shouldn't we be doing that for us as well? Like we should be trying to understand what am I feeling right now?
Yeah.
The whole point of that is if we can get to the point where, because anger is usually a mask for something else, but if we can get to that clarity, that understanding, just like you said, then we can learn those strategies to deal with whatever we're feeling, whatever emotion we're dealing with.
Yeah.
So through your coaching, you talk about you're a breakup coach. I absolutely love that. So talk about that. Like, what are some things that you do within your strategy sessions to help people deal and cope with what they're, you know, what they're going through?
Yeah. So the first thing I do is give them the opportunity to offload, you know, call it a little bit of an offload, not for the whole session, but, you know, 10, 15, maybe 20 minutes, because often they're not heard and they're not listened to and they just need to know that I get it. They need to know that I need that I understand where they're coming from, and it's super important that they know that I care enough to listen to them, and you know, that they can trust that I'm not going to disrespect where they're at. And then I work on the five major negative emotions. So the first one is anger, and I always work on that first. And that can take a whole session just to really unpack that. And we dive, we go really deep. And sometimes that can take people back to generational trauma or even past life or womb stuff. So we go seriously deep with releasing anger, and it's a beautiful process, and it makes a huge difference very quickly.
Yes.
And I love it. Yes. And then we work on resentment, fear, guilt. I've forgotten one. It's early in the morning.
Nope. You're fine. So,
yeah. And then we also look at just the little ins and outs of the breakup. Like, okay, like I've got this massive list of things that people need to look at in terms of separating, in terms of their, you know, all the little things that people forget about, like your Netflix account and your bank accounts and this and that and your will, and have you got a good legal person? Do you need to speak to a financial person? You know, so we get right into that sort of thing as well. If people are parents, I always talk to them about their children. It's so important that they don't rely on their children for support and that they support their children. In the online modules that I have a separate section under each module that is just for parents. So people who are not parents don't have to do it. Although I have been told by non-parents that that was really great and it will be really helpful for when I do have kids or if I meet someone who has kids.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So there's so much in there, and I call myself a little bit of an overachiever perfectionist. when I did the modules, when I designed them, I thought it would take about an hour, but I've discovered that it takes a little bit longer than that. But fortunately, it's broken up into very small chunks so people can go at their own pace and not be overwhelmed. But there's a lot of information in there to help people discover who they are and strategize for stress and all that sort of thing.
And have you found, like, throughout the different cultures, because you are doing coaching from different countries, that at the end of the day, you're really meeting the exact same goals?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. People just want to belong. They want to belong to their families. They don't want to feel left out. They want to be heard. They want to be seen. They want to be empowered and loved. Doesn't matter what country you're in.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are some of the goals that you set when they come to you for coaching through a breakup?
Well, to be honest, it's not up to me to set the goals. Yeah, it's up to the client. So my goal is to see the client where they're at and take them to a better place, wherever that place is for them. Some people are in a really desperate place where they're at the point of thinking life isn't worth living anymore. So for me, that goal is to make sure that they live, they survive, and to give them the power to start making tiny steps to get towards where they need to be. So it's just a gentle, let's just gently go with this and support you through the worst part of this for you. For other people, it's been a couple of years and they're like, right, I'm sick of this, I'm ready. Give me everything you've got. I want to achieve this and this and this. And then we're like, okay, let's do it. And I support them in that. Sometimes people really find themselves, and I love this because I do have a big spiritual woo-woo side. so I really have had some clients where I've been able to sit with them, and through releasing all of their emotions, they've really found their heart and their own spiritual side. And that's another completely different side to coaching. So my job is to go with you wherever you are.
Yeah, I think that's really great. So I want to kind of shift a little bit though, because I want to talk about your TED Talk.
Okay.
Because we're all talking about like empowering women and blah, blah, blah. So I love it. But your TEDx talk is called Why the Time Is Now to Listen to Men.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I love that. But I want you to tell our listeners who, you know, aren't going to click or whatever on the link, tell them why that is important, why the title and why it's actually not what you think, but it's great.
Yeah. Yes. Well, really, it's about men's mental health. It's actually not available to listen to without the link, because I talk about men's suicide and abuse that men experience. And men do experience abuse. Lots of men experience abuse by their female partners. And I find it really sad to see men who are, who don't get to see their children because their ex-partners choose to use their children against them, to make them suffer. So, you know, when my partner had an affair, therefore he doesn't deserve to see his children, and that actually infuriates me. If anyone is doing that, don't do it. It's actually abuse of the children.
It
hurts the children far more than you think, and your children will realize and they will hate you for it.
Right.
I'm just seriously blunt when it comes to this, Jill, because it drives me insane. I have a lot of passion for working with men on this particular issue, and women, because I know for a fact that women are disempowered with their children as well. But for the purpose of the TED Talk, I had to be very specific and just choose one thing. And so I chose.
Trust me, I understand. I've been cultivating my TED Talk idea for a while now. It's tough. It's tough because they do want it to be very specific.
Yes. And if you talk about things that are a bit touchy, they won't publish it. They won't publish it, or it'll only be available via the link. So perhaps you can share the link in my bio as well in case anyone's curious.
Oh yeah, we can absolutely do that. I just wanted people to not be turned away by the title.
Yeah.
Because you think at first she's saying like women are talking, you know, listen to men, but no, what it's talking about is the breakdown of patriarchy on both sides of the coin. Like we need to stop, first of all, you know, with the patriarchy of, you know, men are the breadwinners and women stay at home, you know, and raise the children. But then we also need to stop with the connotation that men can't have feelings and they can't have emotions. And that's the whole purpose of your talk, which I absolutely love, because I'm so passionate about this, that we as a human person have the right to, you know, behave, emote, be who we need and want to be. And, you know, I'll be your champion to tell you that you can do that. And so,
yes.
And I'm the same way. Like, don't keep your kids from your spouse. It just don't. It's not okay. And I say all the time that you can be a crappy spouse, but you can be a decent parent. So stop combining the two. And,
absolutely. And, you know, the rate of suicide in men is quite high compared to women. You know, 75% of all suicides are men. And when men are going through a time of not seeing their children, the rate is quite high. And this is around the world. So all around the world, it's exactly the same. And it's pretty scary. And it's sad. It's sad that men get so desperate because they miss their children that they think there's no hope and they take their lives. And then those poor kids are left without a dad. And, you know, that's sad because then those children are at a higher risk of suicide themselves.
Right. And that's what we're here for, is to change the connotation, to say it's okay to talk about it. It's okay to reach out for help.
Yes.
So when you're a breakup coach, like, what are your biggest tips that you can give my listeners? Because going back to suicide, I mean, I get some criticism about my title of my podcast and my book, No One Dies from Divorce. And I always remind them, the divorce will not kill you. Domestic violence will, other people will, and mental health will as well.
Absolutely.
And so we're here to tell you that, divorce does not need to be the pinnacle or the, you know, the straw that broke this camel's back to make it so that there's nothing else viable. Because I've talked to so many people just like you, Leanne, who are the other side of divorce, to show you how it can be a beautiful journey to get you to exactly where you need to be. But what you need to remember is, if you're feeling like you don't deserve to be here today, that is only a fleeting moment. And that if suicide is final, You don't get to second guess that. You don't get to decide tomorrow, and tomorrow needs you. So I'm absolutely with you on that. So anyways, going back to what are your biggest tips that you help your clients realize? Divorce or breakups, they're not the end. They're
an opportunity. Mm-hmm. They are an absolute opportunity for us to step back and to really look at, okay, how did I contribute to this? Did I become a doormat? Did I lose myself? Was I too aggressive? Was I so angry that my partner couldn't be with me? If there are affairs, don't blame yourself. Look at it as in, okay, someone in this relationship wasn't happy. Why? What's going on? What was going on for my partner? You know, there's so much to it. And it's also, excuse me, an opportunity for you to take a step back and look at who am I and what on earth do I actually want for my life? And if we focus all of, I'm going to say you, if you focus all of your attention on your ex-partner and what they're doing, what he's doing or she's doing, and, oh, they're happy now and I'm not, that is just going to keep you stuck.
Mm-hmm.
It almost has to be like you have to set this huge boundary. Boundaries are extremely important when it comes to separation.
Mm-hmm.
That says, okay, well, fine. They did wrong, whatever. They may look happy. I don't know if they are. I actually don't care if they are. And what's important now is me.
Yeah.
And so turn your head away. Block them from social media or whatever you need to do if it upsets you, and look within, look at yourself. What do I want? Am I really unhealthy? Do I need to change my food? Do I need to exercise? Do I need to go out and dance and have fun? Not get drunk all the time. That's not helpful. sometimes, sure, but not all the time. Do I need to change my job? Do I need to move? Do I need to love myself? It's just so much that you can do to empower yourself. And staring at your ex and where they're at and blaming them for everything that went wrong is just going to keep you stuck. Yes. And it's not about blaming yourself. We do not want to blame ourselves. We want to acknowledge and love and say, okay, whew, I messed up, or I didn't, whatever it might be, and I can learn from this. I don't have to take this into my next relationship, and I will not date until I am happy with who I am.
Exactly. And my biggest tip that I want to say when you're going through this breakup is that excuses are the bricks that you place in front of yourself that keep you from moving forward. Mm-hmm. So stop saying, I can't, mm-hmm. I can't, I can't, I can't, and start yeah. saying, I can. Move yeah. those building blocks, move those excuses to the side, and you will move forward and you will be better. You will be stronger. You will be the best version of yourself if you continue to work for that.
Absolutely. And if you're finding that you're really blocked in saying I can, get help.
Just absolutely. Get help.
And there's so much help out there. And it's worth every cent. You know, I remember crying because I really wanted to do this coaching program and I couldn't afford it. And I dipped into my kids' bank accounts and I felt so guilty because I'd been saving just like $30 a week since they were born and had a couple of grand in there. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I did it. And it was the best decision I ever made because if I didn't, oh my God, I'd hate to think who I would still be.
That's amazing, Leanne. And she's living proof. I mean, yeah. That what can come out of this on the other side. So I would love it. Do you coach people in America?
Oh, yeah. Look, Zoom brings the world together.
Oh, I absolutely love that. Absolutely. So everybody, Leanne, where can everybody find you if they wanted to come and check out more of what you do?
Well, they can find me on the website, of course, www.leannekansler.com. There's lots of information on there, and there's also a link to my calendar. Or they can just simply send me an email, leanne@leannekansler.com. I do actually have a psychology practice as well, so my online diary can look more unavailable than it is, mm-hmm. especially at nighttime. So if my online diary doesn't match with your time zone, wherever you are, split me an email and I'll accommodate you. I just need to know what's going on. So I like to be a little bit in control of that side of things. Of course, I'm on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. Just look my name up. I think I'm the only Leanne Kanzler in the world. It's not a very common name. So you'll be able to find me. And I'm known as Ash the Transformational Breakup, because I honestly believe that breakups are an opportunity to transform your life. And I am ready, willing, and able to help you do that.
I love that. Breakup to breakthrough. That is the message here today, you guys. That is another episode of No One Dies from Divorce. What a joy. Thanks, Leanne, getting up early and doing this from Sydney, Australia. Our listeners are going to be so much more enriched and better off because they were able to hear from you. So thank you so much.
Wonderful. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed, please subscribe, follow, and share. I'd love to hear your questions and feedback. You can contact me at community@jillcoyle.com. See you next time. I am an attorney, but I am not your attorney. Any advice given on the podcast is general and shall not be construed as legal advice. For listening to this episode, if you enjoyed, please subscribe, follow, and share. I'd love to hear your questions and feedback. You can contact me at community@jillcoyle.com. See you next time. I am an attorney, but I am not your attorney. Any advice given on the podcast is general and shall not be construed as legal advice.